to all the moms, and I had a look back at my life. I probably started out as Mommy, then it was Ma, and then my kids gave me this nickname, Mama Llama. Mama Llama, so my big fuzzy thing or what? I don't know. But mamas, you become a mama. Sometimes you are a mama without having to birth children. We were talking about this. Sometimes you are a mama without having to birth any children, but God puts you in people's lives to be a mother. So, and it's a good thing. And some people, you know, we say Mother's Day, and it's a hard day. It could be a hard day because maybe you didn't grow up with a good relationship with your mom. Maybe you still don't have a good relationship with her mom. Maybe you just have not been able to have children. And some people, it's just tough. But I want to tell you, God loves you. And you can be a mom without having children. He'll speak to you and he'll use you. And that's good. That is very good. And I just pray. I pray for everybody here, moms, dads, everybody. That you would just know the purpose you have in this life, and I pray that you fulfill it and be a blessing to everybody. That's my prayer for you. Amen. So I thought, should I do a Mother's Day message? Didn't feel like doing it. So I'm going to do part three. Okay, part three, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And before I go on any farther, this is a great book, and it goes into more detail what I'm just going to give you the whipped cream and the cherry, all right? But there's about 7 layers of ice cream and a brownie on the bottom of it that I'm not going to go over. And if you're interested in all those layers and the brownie on the bottom, go visit our bookstore. This is a book that I've read many times, and of course I'm a little prejudiced. This was written by Brother Hagin, and it's called You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. You can be led by the Spirit of God. So, again, this is my copy. You can't have it. Go visit our bookstore. We've got some great copies there and some other stuff. And the ladies, raise my hand, ladies that work in our bookstore. I've got Martha, Kathy, Joan. Some of my other guys aren't here. Just say, hey, I'm looking for a book about such and such. And most of these ladies have been around for a while, and they've read a good bunch of those books. All right? And they'll take you through it. So go back there. And I will say this. Certain other bookstore at the other end of town does not carry what we tend to read. Is that said okay? So you got to go here, or you got to go on Amazon, all right? So we started a series. This is our third week, and the title of our series is The Holy Who, and the answer is the Holy Who is the Holy Spirit. And for a lot of people, when you say the Holy Spirit, they start back into the back door. I'm out of here. You're talking about the Holy Spirit, and then you say the Holy Ghost, and they're gone. And it just kind of, you know, just shakes us up. So the first week we talked about who is the Holy Spirit. He's not scary. He's not weird. Jesus said he was giving someone, and he said you needed him. So that was week one. Last week we talked about the benefits. Okay, and most of us want to know what benefits are before we take a job. Well, listen, there were some great benefits that we learned last week, and you can go study up on it, read it, listen to it, whatever you want to do, go online. Today, I'm going to take a little different direction. How many of you like to listen to other people when they talk? I call it eavesdropping, but I'll say it nicely. Okay, how many of you like to listen to other people talk? Well, if you don't, you're going to still listen to me. So this morning, and you can pinch the person next to you. But I like to listen to people talk. And it's really interesting when we'll have one of our big Cashman clans over a holiday, I tend to be probably quietest sometimes because I just want to hear what's going on. And I like to listen to people talk at checkout lines. So I'm at the checkout line, but I'm really just kind of listening to all the stuff that's going on behind. I want to listen to what they're saying. And I have been known to eavesdrop at a restaurant at the table over here. You know, sometimes if you're getting quiet, I'm like, whoa, did you hear what they say? So, but it's also interesting. I do like to do that. But have you ever been around somebody who likes to talk all about themselves? And I remember this. I had a break in a relationship with one of my sisters. One, I didn't know where she was living. And then she finally calls me, and she gets on the phone. I was so tickled pink to hear from her. And she just talked for 45 minutes straight, all about her. I did this, I'm a this, and this, and that, me. And then she says, okay, bye, and hang up. And I thought, well, that was an interesting conversation. Not really, you know, it's just all about her. I didn't even get to say anything about me or my kids, you know. So that's really not what we call a conversation, right? And a real conversation is when you start asking other people questions about themselves. And as a Christian, you know, that's a good deal. Because you just meet people and you should be asking the other person about themselves. Like, tell me your life story. Sherry and I do this. Sherry got me on this. We'll meet a couple, especially if they come into my office and they're about clawing their eyes out each other. And I'll go, oh, tell me your love story. And right away, they get all mushy. And they start telling, you know, I've never had anybody walk out when I said that. They just all kind of, oh, let me tell you. So people, you know, start doing that. Years ago, we used to do a home Bible fellowship training, and we'd host it at my house. And we'd have about five couples sitting around our living room. And when they first came in, man, they were nervous. They're like, I'm at the pastor's house. Funny story, it has nothing to do with this, but I'll tell you it anyway. Well, the doorbell rang one night, and it was a lady, and she's like running in just shaking. She goes, oh, my gosh, I'm so scared when I pulled out here. I go, what are you talking about? I live in York, New Salem. My neighbors are the cows and these two people over here. I have left my garage door open, house unlocked, and went away for a vacation. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I got out here. Well, you know what? She lived in York City on Duke Street. And I'm going, what? She says, they have street lights. You don't. I'm going, it just depends what everybody is comfortable. But anyway, I welcomed everybody in. We'd have them come sit around. And the first thing we'd do, we'd ask them questions. Tell me about your experience with Jesus. Tell me what he's done in your life. And as you went around the room, number one, we told them they can only talk for 3 minutes. Well, that was a joke. All right. So it was only supposed to take a grand total of 20 minutes, and we were there for an hour. But it was really interesting. I would listen to them tell me about their life, and all of a sudden I could identify, and I was like, we walked out like buds. It was great. So very interesting about having communications, all right, not just talking about yourself all the time. So what does this have to do with the Holy Spirit? Okay, if you're writing this down, and you should write things down because it helps you remember things. The Holy Spirit is not an it that you already knew, but the Holy Spirit never talks about himself. Write that down. The Holy Spirit never talks about himself, and he never does that. He never comes up and he says, listen, I just want to tell you about how great I am. The Holy Spirit never does that. The Holy Spirit, matter of fact, only talks about what he hears the Father say to him. That's what he'll talk about. Or the Son, Jesus, when he hears from him, that's what he talks about. And when he hears it, his job is to pass it on to you. All right, so number one, write that down. The Holy Spirit never talks about himself. I have been in conversations with people that only talk about themselves, and I'm like, would you shut up? Okay. Those are days I repent. All right. So what I want to talk about today is four ways the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Four ways the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And if you go through this book that I was telling you about, they really kind of slice it up and you can make it more. And I'm going to squish a couple things together and you'll say, Pastor D, they're sort of similar. Just enjoy the trip. Write down four things, okay? Besides, I want to get you out so you can go have dinner. All right, so four things, four ways the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And as far as YCF and what we believe and what I believe is, I believe the Holy Spirit is still alive. I believe the Holy Spirit still speaks. And I believe you need to hear him in your life, every day. You need to hear the Holy Spirit personally for you. Personally for you, every day. So that's why I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, turn over to John 16. John chapter 16, verse 13. And this is a scripture I've kind of tossed around a couple of times the last couple of weeks. John chapter 16, verse 13. However, he, the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority. He'll not speak about himself. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So you definitely can hear that the Holy Spirit's speaking. You get that when you read that? He's doing a lot of speaking. But the thing is, and in my life, am I listening? You know, am I listening? I remember kids just following me around, and they're yanking on my thing, and I'm just doing a zillion things in my house, and they're talking. I'm not even listening. All right? But I want to listen to the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if you want to listen to the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if you think he's got something good to say. He does. All right. Now, how many of you know in this congregation, right here this morning, there's a whole bunch of different people, and there's different ways that you learn. There's different ways that you learn. There's different ways that I learn. Such as, if I do all the talking, some of you just get it. Sometimes, some people, I do all the talking, and you have to write down notes. Sherry and I were talking. We write down notes so we can pay attention and not fall asleep. All right? So then I get it. There's some people, you know, they love PowerPoint. And then so someone's talking and they look at the PowerPoint and then they get it. There's some people, they got to do a video because they don't get it. They need more pictures, all right? So it's interesting. There's different ways that people learn, right? I am especially if I'm reading. You'll watch me. If you come in my room while I'm reading, you'll hear me talking at the same time. It's just the way I learn. And I really learn better with hearing something in pictures. And it's so interesting. God knew all of that, and he knew you need to hear the Holy Spirit, but he also knew you are different. You're wired different. I'm wired different. So he speaks different ways depending on how you're geared. All right, he speaks different ways. And a lot of times when I hear the Holy Spirit, I get a picture. It's not that it comes up on the wall. I just kind of see things. And it's a picture in my mind, and I get it. So God loves us so much that he will talk to us many different ways, all because he wants to talk to you, and he wants you to get it. And some of you should say, well, thank goodness, because, you know, I need everything. I need all of this. All right. So God speaks to me, God speaks to you, and that's why I want to go over different ways that he speaks. And the number one way that he speaks to everybody is through the Word. Hold up your Bible. I bet you did not know that thing's so important. That Bible, even though God inspired men to write it, they threw 66 books together and we call it the Holy Bible. But that Bible actually speaks. That word, the word in the Bible actually speaks. And that's one way the Holy Spirit speaks through us, all right? So was a couple weeks ago, some lady grabbed me in the foyer after church, after I had spoken the word. I believe I spoke the word. And she goes, Pastor D, while you were talking, the Holy Spirit, or God, she didn't say Holy Spirit, she says, God spoke to me while you were talking and your message. And she went and told me, and I thought, I didn't say any of that. What? I didn't say anything that she said. And you know what? That's when the Lord says, you were speaking my word, and she got a message just for her. And then I thought, oh, yeah, I do that a lot of times. Someone's talking, and they're sharing the word, and it kind of goes, it presses some light bulbs off about a situation in my life, not really what they're talking about, and I kind of write it down, and I'll do that later, or I'll call that, or I say thank you, all right? So the Word of God, this Bible, speaks, and it's one of the ways the Holy Spirit will speak to you. So our vision at YCF is that we gather, we grow, and we go. And the grow part is we want you to grow in your relationship, personal relationship, relationships with one another, but relationship with the Lord. And one of the best ways, that's why I was like, read your Bible. Read your Bible every day. The best way, the easiest way to me really, is that you'll grow is because you're in the Word of God every single day, and that's how the Holy Spirit will speak to you. All right? Now, sometimes I don't know if he's speaking because I pass out, so I found out at night I don't do well reading. All right? He doesn't say nothing except for good night kisses. Bam, I'm out. All right? But so I'm an early to rise, and I'll get up for an hour usually, and I'll be reading. And sometimes I'm on a study path, and other times he just sort of says something to me, and I'm like, whoa, it's just what I needed. All right, so our vision here is to gather and grow and go. And the grow part for everybody will happen is when you kind of have a daily, definitely not a kind of, you definitely have a daily diet, okay, of the word. So the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart through the Word. Amen? And now I have to say this. Those of you that have grown up in Pentecostal or Charismania, as we like to call it, sometimes you'll run across people. Now some of those, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just start laughing. Okay, get ready. But people will come up to me, they've come up to you probably, and they go, oh, you know, God talks to me all the time. You know, he said this today, and he said this, and he said this, God said this, God told me this, Holy Spirit told me this, the Holy Spirit, and they say, la, 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 la. Every time you see them, and you think, oh, they are so spiritual, because I don't hear that all the time, every day, every minute. And listen, so the real deal of the matter is not. They really aren't hearing God, the Holy Spirit said this, 24/7. They're not. And it's okay. And the problem when people do that is, one, I think they're weird. Two, I think they're big exaggerators. And, okay, I'm supposed to be nice. Let me think of a nice one. Hold on. How do I say this nice? Anyway, they're not, okay? But their heart, bless their darling hearts, okay? But sometimes what happens is it turns people off, and then they feel like, oh, I'm such a bad Christian because I don't hear from the time I start brushing my teeth till I tie my shoes, the Holy Spirit said this, the Holy Spirit said that. And then I go downstairs and make breakfast, and the Holy Spirit, I don't hear that, guys. But listen, he speaks especially when you need it. And I don't need him to tell me how to make coffee. I can do it. He doesn't have to tell them. So when people say that, that's okay. You love them. And I like what Brother Hagin said this, because it helped me bless their darling hearts and their blah, blah brains. What it meant was, we are a vessel. We're a vessel. And if you could picture this big pipe, and here's this water that's going to pour through the vessel, the pipe. And sometimes the pipe gets kind of rusted and contaminated, so when the water passes through it, the water at that end gets a little goofy, contaminated, okay? But we're just a vessel, all right? But the water, the Word of God is true. And if you stick to the Word, and you just stick to the Word, and you don't always have to listen to what people say. You always examine what people say by the Word. You stick to that, you're going to make it. You're going to be good. Good. You're not going to be goofy. All right? So back on the real trail. You all with me? I just had to say that because you probably bump into them. Amen. So number one, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word, and the Word will stabilize you. Turn over to one more scripture about that. 1 John 9. No, that's not right. There's no 1 John 9. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Just wrote a new book in the Bible. By the way, you can't add or take away. It's done. Amen. 1 John 5, 9. 1 John 5, 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This is what I want to say. For the witness of God, which he testifies, is the Son. Not what I want. Verse 7. Let's do that one. Sorry about that. That's a good verse. 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and the three are one. There are three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and the three are one. And you know what that means? The Holy Spirit is always in agreement with the Father and the Word. They're not going to have a disagreement. The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you something. Well, you know, the Father God, he doesn't know who. And I know more than he does. They never do that. They don't have a disagreement. Now listen, people have disagreements about the Word. But the Word and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they are never going to disagree. So that's why I told you in the beginning, get into the Word. The Word will tell you the truth. Okay? So they're always in agreement. Now, it's interesting. Let me go into number two. Okay, so number one, the Holy Spirit will speak to you through the Word. And number two, write this down. The Holy Spirit speaks on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit speaks on the inside of you. Now, let me tell you a story. When I give you an example, Jack and I had, Sherry and Jesse were out of the house, college or something like that, and Cassie and Joy were at home. Joy was supposed to be this mature senior, and Cassie was 2 years younger, so she was a sophomore. And Jack had this brainiac idea, we should go away for a weekend, and they will be wonderfully fine and responsible. Okay, so I'm a day older and a whole lot smarter. So I think we went to Bucks County, we were going to visit, and then we went into Philadelphia. So I think we spent one night, Thursday night, in whatever, New Hope. Yep, we Tuesday, Thursday night. And then we were driving to Philadelphia because we were going to tour Philadelphia. And we got there at night. And it's dark and we're walking around. And, it's, you know, and all of a sudden, we got to go home. Why? We got to go home. I just feel it. We're just supposed to go home. And I was not really good at communicating, and I was really just a big, obnoxious nag. Till finally he says, woman, just get in the car, we're going home. No, he never called me woman, that's what Mr. Scott always says, but he says, fine, let's just get in the car. And we're arguing the whole time, not very nice and loving, all the way home, because I just kept saying, we need to go home, we need to go home, we need to go home. We pull up to the driveway. Kids sprawled all over my front yard with all sorts of things. And we push the button of the garage door opens and we pull in and I put my hand, I felt like this magical doorknob and it's vibrating with loud music. They've got a party going on. Cute little Cashman spirit-filled little girls and we're throwing them out and they're pitching kids and my girls are having a fit. And I said, I don't, their parents aren't here, I don't care. So I had kids lined up on the front sidewalk. We don't have sidewalks, what's that, curb. Okay, I tell you this, the Holy Spirit was speaking on the inside of me. Yeah. And sometimes when we have the Holy Spirit speak on the inside, the outside, okay, let's put it this way. Do you remember being 18? Okay, the outside really spoke louder than the inside, especially if you're not born again, especially if you only know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What, you know, so that's when you go, oh, I need that woman. That's the outside. Oh, Susie Q, I just got to marry her. That's the outside. But as you get later on in life, you marry Susie Q, maybe, and you get a little bit older and you get into the Word of God every day because you listen to Pastor D, and you start growing in your love. And then you think, I should have listened on the inside. Susie Q might be nice, but maybe God had something else there, okay? So you need to listen on the inside. Listen on the inside. And the Holy Spirit will speak on the inside to you. All right? Scripture. I better give you a scripture here. How about I do that? 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. This is Moses, and he's asking to see God's glory. 1 Kings 19. 11 and 12. So I'm going to say, so number one, the one that God speaks all the time is he'll speak through his word. The Holy Spirit will start talking to you through the word. And number two, he'll speak on the inside. And we like to call that the still small voice, especially if you read one of the Brother Hagin's books. And it made sense. It's a still small voice. It is not, we need to go home. Okay, but on the inside, I was hearing this little voice. The way I interpreted it and communicated it was not too good. But let me read this. So Moses asked God if he could see his glory, and he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rock to pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Listen, guys, that's just an Old Testament scripture. And there's so many examples, especially when you start getting in the book of Acts, of the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. The thing is, are you listening? And sometimes I ignore that. Anybody ever ignore it? Anybody ever been in a situation, you know, like, you know, in the natural, you know, I should go into business with this guy. The guy's got the money. We're good buddies. But on the inside, you're going, oh, no. And then you do it and you go, man, I wish I would have listened to that little voice on the inside. Anybody ever have situations like that? I wish I would have listened. That's when I always say I'm a day older and a whole lot smarter. Okay, so, but we need to listen to it. Because when you start getting good at listening to that little small voice, you'll just avoid all sorts of heartache and bunches of messes. It's so good to do that. Turn over to Acts. Matter of fact, just write it down. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 and 28. This is the story of Philip. Philip's walking down this road, and he sees this chariot go by. And there's a guy sitting in the chariot, and he can hear him reading the Old Testament scriptures. I think it was of Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip on the inside. He says, go join yourself to that guy. Now, some of us are going, I don't know if that's the Holy Ghost. I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit. Philip knew that little voice on the inside, and he hops in, probably asks politely, can I explain? He does. Can I explain that to you? And the guy's going, yeah, come in and hop up here on my chariot. And Philip obeys, listens and obeys that little voice, and he explains to this guy in the chariot. The guy gets saved. The guy gets water baptized on the side of the road somewhere in the creek. And the next thing you know, Philip's translated, transported out of here. Scotty, beat me up someplace else. Now listen, that's when I know you heard from God. So anytime you want to tell me, Pastor D, I got translated to Hawaii, call me up and I'll go, yeah, okay. But listen, you have the Holy Spirit. He comes, if you've asked him to come upon your life, to come in and fill you in your life, he is speaking to you with this little small voice. Okay, another scripture, it's Acts chapter 10, just write it down, verse 19. Okay, this is when I get to tell stories because I love telling stories. I just don't get to dress up and tell stories. But Acts chapter 10, this is Peter. Peter was visiting some guys. He's up on top of a roof, and he has this vision. The sheet comes down, and there's critters in there, and God talks to him about all of that. And then he's just kind of going, wow, that was wow. Wonder what that was about. Man. And then Peter has this still, small voice who says to him, Peter, there's some guys that are going to come knocking on your door, and you're supposed to go with them, even though they're Gentiles. And Peter, a few minutes later, I don't know, whatever, the doorbell rings, and there's guys at the door, and they go, Peter, we want you to come with us. I know. We want you to come with us. But see, the Holy Spirit had already spoken on the inside of him. He goes with these guys, Gentiles. And he shares the gospel. He shares the whole truth of who Jesus was and what Jesus came to do. And this whole household gets saved because Peter heard the little small voice. Okay. Now, most of us, I'd like this big, loud voice. Okay. But there are times my kids have big, loud voice and I'm going, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. So you can't always say, oh, that's the way I want to hear it. God loves you so much that he will speak to you through the word, and he'll speak to you in a small voice. Okay, so that's number two. Number three. Okay, we can do this today. Hallelujah. Number three, turn over to Romans 8, and I'll explain. Number three. And why I'm going over these is not because I want to give you 4 points, because that makes just an incredible sermon. But I want you to start thinking of the ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You go, oh, that happened to me. I remember most of you, and I love it when kids come up to me, Pastor D, the other day I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. I go, yeah, that's cool. But I remember that, like, you know, I could tell you what I was wearing. And you need to start thinking about that. You know, that's why I'm giving these examples. Okay, Romans 8, verse 14 through 16. Okay, so before I say that, the third way the Holy Spirit can speak to us is by a leading, okay, by a leading. In Romans 8, what did I say that was? 14, starting in 14. For as many as are led, can you underline that word? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit, these are the sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children. Okay, the rest, that's just a cool scripture. But it's just wonderful is that the Holy Spirit leads. The Holy Spirit leads. Now, how many of you knew when there was something right going on in your life? You just knew there was something right. It was you were in the middle of a situation and you just knew the right way to do it. Anybody? More times I find out, oh, that wasn't the right way. But a lot of times I do. Well, the word lead and paints a picture when you look it up in the Greek. And I'm just going to tell you that how it paints up. Picture a person who takes a light string, not a heavy rope, and he wraps it around a cow. And then he gently pulls the animal. He didn't drag that thing. He gently leads the animal, all right? That's the Holy Spirit. He gently nudges you. Gently nudges you. And it's really similar to my first one, but it's even more pronounced. So he'll gently do that. And I'm telling you that gently nudging, it will... Okay, so if the Holy Spirit's a gentleman, he's not going to force you. He's not going to beat you, but he's going to gently talk to you, and you have to be able to follow his lead, follow the leader. So number three is the Holy Spirit will gently lead you, all right? I remember one of my kids brought home this girl, and I just was thinking, it was on the inside, this is a recipe for disaster. And listen, she was cute, really nice, but on the inside I'm going, this is a recipe for disaster. And it was. It took one of my kids down the dark road for about 2 years. And I thought, man, if I could have tied my kid up and sent her to California, we would have been done with that. But you still have to teach your kids, by the way. You have to teach your kids to have a personal relationship with the Jesus and personally hear the voice of the Lord. Because sometimes mama's not going to be here. Okay? So that's a good thing, the way you train up your kid. All right? How about if the Holy Spirit starts nudging you, gently talking to you? Don't go home that way. And your head's going, I always drive that way home. It's the fastest way. And the Holy Spirit's just kind of nudging you. It's just a light nudge. And you say, all right, I'll follow. And you take a different road home. And you find out there's some catastrophe accident that happened. Now, aren't you kind of glad you didn't ignore it? Okay, so our thing is, I need to hear him. And then I need to obey him. Don't ignore him, all right? Okay, my last one I'm going to give you. Last one, number four in closing. And this one's really simple. It kind of ties in with the last one. But turn over to Colossians 3. This one's going to be up here on the New Living Translation. Okay, last one. So the first one is the Holy Spirit leads and speaks to us. Excuse me, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word. Your Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. So you need to be in the Word all the time. Then the second way is he just talks. He's like this little voice on the inside, still small voice. The third way the Holy Spirit leads, he leads. He leads. The Holy Spirit leads, all right? And the last one is this one. I'm going to use this word, and then I'm going to explain it. The Holy Spirit leads like the umpire of your heart. The umpire of your heart. Okay, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace, underline the word peace, that comes from Christ rule, underline the word rule, in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and be always thankful. Okay. Now, how many of you remember it is the Holy Spirit that draws you to Jesus? The Holy Spirit brings you into a relationship with Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit pours his love into you. And this scripture says the Holy Spirit is peace. He'll bring peace into your life. Okay. Now, peace. God puts peace in your life. Jesus even said, I'm going to leave and I'm going to give you peace. So the Holy Spirit is going to put peace in your life, and that's the place you need to stay in. But you know what? Some days, it's just rocking and a-rolling, and I'm just not doing too good. So, but he says, listen, I'm going to put peace in your life. How many of you ever walked in peace? You had a real situation, and you finished, and you thought, whoa, I did good. I kept the peace. I didn't go crazy. How many of you had times when you did not walk in peace? Wah! Yeah. Okay. And you are popping and pinging, all right? So which one do you like? You like to walk in peace? Yeah. Glory be, hallelujah, shaking down. Yes, Pastor D, I like that peace. Okay, I like that peace, all right? But and that's better. But listen, God put peace in your heart, and the peace is supposed to rule or be an umpire of your heart. Now, I know a little bit about sports. Just like looking at guys in outfits on the field. That's basically it. But how about a football game? I know, I'm so honest. I just embarrass myself. Okay, so you go to a football game, and there's a call on the field. Who do they call? The refs. On a football game, they call the refs. They call the refs on the field, and those guys decide the situation. They make a decision on the dispute. They decide if it's going to be this way or that way. Now, we're all sitting in front of our TV going, that's what happened. No way. You got to be kidding. Okay. But then it doesn't make any difference, because as soon as those refs get called on the field, and then they announce the decision has been reached, blah, 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 blah. And then you go, ah, or you should be all praise God. I was on that one. All right. So God puts peace on your heart to be the umpire of your life in situations. God puts peace in your heart to decide how you're going to walk in situations. All right? Baseball. The Orioles are playing, and they are. They're playing today, right? Yep. And there's somebody hits the ball. Who is it? Come on. All right. And then there's somebody slides into home base, and the crowds are going, yay! And the other crowds are going, no, he was out. Who do they call? The umpire of the home base, right? And he comes in and he says, you're either safe, or he goes, you're out, right? So who decides? Okay, I don't know where I am right now. Okay. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit wants to decide in your life situations. And it's real easy. If you have peace, go. You're safe with God. You don't have peace, sometimes you just go, go sleep on it. There have been situations, Jack and I were at opposite ends, and we learned after about 15 years, we were a little slow in learning, if we both don't have peace on it, you know, shelf it. Go to sleep on it, all right? And we just wait on it. And I'd ask him next day, what do you hear? And I go, I feel we should do this. You know that one, we should move to Hawaii. And he's going, no, I don't get that. What, are you kidding me? We should move to Hawaii. Okay, the Holy Spirit wants to decide that situation for you. He wants to talk to you. And the way you'll know, it's so easy. If you have peace, you have the decision. All right, you have a peace, it's a decision. And really, if you don't have peace, you have a decision. The trick is, it's not a trick. The thing is, do you hear the Holy Spirit? And peace is this big thing. He's placed it in your hearts, and it's really very obvious. Even though I get sucked down the toilet sometimes, just going, I can't believe I did that. I was acting like a maniac. Ah! Okay, but I'm getting better, all right? And I will tell you, the more that I'm in the Word, and the more that I pray in the Holy Spirit, because I've asked the Holy Spirit to come in my life, and I start praying in the Holy Spirit, the more I hear clearer and faster. It's just like, okay? Days I just vacation from God and the gifts that he's given me, it's hard, and I just get ugly, all right? So that's the mom of speech on you. All righty. Now, who's the umpire? The umpire is the Holy Spirit. And the umpire of your heart will tell you if it's safe or you're out, all right? Now, I'm going to give you an assignment. Starting right now, would you just Because I love you. I love you so much. I want you to go through life not going, oh, I wish I would have listened to it. So listen, this is your assignment starting right now. Make a decision that you're going to listen. You're going to either listen as you read the word. You're going to listen as this little voice. Or you're going to listen by the leading. But make a decision. You're going to listen. And then you're going to know what to do. And you know what? When I'm listening, I have to shut up. I do. So I have to. So I'll blab to God. Blah, 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 blah. What's going on in my life? Blah, 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 blah. And then I have to be quiet. And then I'll get in the word. Or then I'll pray in the spirit. Or then I'll just be still. And he'll talk to you. All right? It's easy. It's actually easy to listen to your heart. It's really easy. All right? Let's pray. Just close your eyes for a second. Father, we just come to you. We thank you that you love us so much, that you always desire to speak to us. You just didn't save us and threw us on the front porch and said, just deal with it. I thank you so much, Father. Your love is so great that not only would you send your son, Jesus Christ, to pay a debt that I could not pay, that you not only did that, but then you sent the helper, the comforter, the speaker of the house, the Holy Spirit, to come and live inside of us, to speak to us, to guide us through this life, to be a helper. I thank you, and I pray for everybody here that this week, that their ears would hear clearly, their eyes would see so clearly, and their heart, Father, would be the one that leads them. In Jesus' name, I pray this for everybody. Everybody, you got your homework? Starting now. And, you know, keep a little count sheet. It's really funny. Once you finally go, oh, 4 points, and you go to bed at night and go, oh, my gosh, check that one off. I heard that way. All right? Keep your homework sheet next to you. Turn it in next week. I'll give out lollipops. All right? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, Pastor D wants to ask you one question. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that he loves you so much that he gave his whole life? His whole purpose to even touch down on earth for 3.5 years is because he loved you so much that he would die for you. And if there's anybody here and you go, well, I don't know about that, Pastor D. Well, let me tell you, he did. And he wanted to bring you into a good place. Not a good place, bring you into a great place. He wanted to bring you into a place where you'd have a relationship with him. And someday when you give up your last breath, he wanted to make sure you would spend eternity with him. Eternity starts right now, but there's a great place in heaven. So if there's anybody here, and you can just close your eyes with me, all right? Close your eyes. If there's anybody here and you say, Pastor D, I don't know that, but I would like Jesus to come into my life, be the leader of my life, so that I know that I know that I am on my way to heaven when I give my last breath. Is there anybody here? Just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to give me your PIN number here and empty your pockets or something like that. But I want to pray with you because I'm telling you, it's the most important thing that will ever happen to you. It's the day you meet Jesus and he forgives and he washes you and he clothes you and he fills you. Amen. Anybody here? Well, good. If there's anybody here, you'd say, Pastor D, I need help. Every day, and I need this Holy Spirit you've been talking about. I want this Holy Spirit. I want him in my life. I want to hear his voice. And it's real simple. It says, anybody who would ask for the Holy Spirit, ask for Jesus and ask for the Holy Spirit, he'd give you a good gift, a good gift. And he'd be with you forever, and he'd lead you and guide you. And one of the ways you know, one of the way you know, is that you have the Holy Spirit, is he'll give you a sign. He'll give you a sign that you'll speak with new tongues, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if there's anybody here, you'd say, Pastor D, I'll take that next gift. That's a good one. Okay. Anybody? All right. Well, you all have your homework cut out for you. Be good students. Avoid places. Avoid messes. Let them talk to you and listen to them and obey them. I love you so much, and I'm glad that I get to impact your life and send you on your way. So you have a wonderful day, everybody. Youth tonight, youth group is here tonight at 6:30. And singles are still meeting at, this is their last meeting. Their last meeting at Faith Community Church for the singles group. And the rest of you go have fun and go live big. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I love you.